following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Live from Progressive.
Flo again, talking about something dear to my heart.
Saving money.
And we have Marcy.
Hi, can I really find other car insurance companies' rates on Progressive.com?
Sure can. It makes rate shopping fast and saving as easy as pie.
Oh, it's got to be easier than that. Ever tried making a pecan pie?
It can get soupy.
Visit Progressive.com to compare rates and start saving today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Comparison rates not available in Massachusetts and certain other states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We've all been there. You jump on the computer right when tickets go on sale. And even if you get tickets, you get best available. No choice, no selection. Just best available. That's why so many fans use StubHub, the world's largest fan-to-fan ticket marketplace. On StubHub, you'll always find a great selection of seats. And you get to choose the seats you want. So you can actually sit where you want to sit. So for your next game or concert, head to StubHub and choose your seats today.
StubHub!
Previously on the Doug and Daddy Show.
If you try to pull what you did yesterday and tap me on the shin guard again, we will go.
So you can guess what happened. So despite Daddy being gone for unknown reasons, the Doug and Daddy Show rolls on. It's just disappointing that we'll miss Daddy's gems like...
That China must have a hell of a bunch of treats. When I dream about the moonlight of the Wabash, my Indiana home. You only put honey on biscuits from Kentucky Fried Chicken. What else do you use honey for? We're going to Oregon, then we're going to Washington, then we're going down to California. Yeah!
So today we'll depend on our fearless leader, Doug Duda.
But why would that be the only thing you put out there?
Well, I'm more than willing to help generate conversation.
Really? You have no facts. Don't give me some BS.
Well, okay then. It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth.
Doug and Daddy Show! Hello, everybody. We're glad to have you on the program today. The big fella is out, but I'm going to tell you what, we don't need him because we are going to be slammed today, and he is somewhere doing something. Maybe his tan is fading away, and he just needed more. I don't know what he's up to, but we will hear something, maybe a phone call, maybe an email on the show today. But we are slammed today, folks. You just never know when everything's going to come together as the College World Series continues. Today, we have our first coach of the week, Dave Esker of Cal. The Cal Golden Bears are the highest seed, lowest seed, however you want to see it. They were a 3 in their regional, and they have advanced on to the College World Series for the first time under the coach. A program, and does this sound familiar? A program that was told last September that they were being cut, eliminated, and would no longer be a part of the University of California at Berkeley. And now, less than a season, this season, they found a way to keep it going, found the money. They're playing in the College World Series in Omaha. I don't know the you got all kinds of definitions for ironic and irony. Hello. We'll talk with Coach Esker on the show today. We will also be previewing the defending national champions from South Carolina with Scott Hood of GamecockCentral.com. Cody Green has allowed himself to talk to a few members of the media, and we must say we have attempted to contact Cody. We have not made official contact to have him on the show, and we hope to do so at some point. But he's spoken with HuskersOnline.com, and he's also spoke with our buddy Steve Sipple of the Lincoln Journal-Star, and you can go on to their website, the Journal-Star website, and their Husker Extra page, and about a 10 to 12-minute discussion between Steve Sipple and Cody Green. Basically the same questions and answers that he told Husker Online, but we will talk with Sean Callahan of Huskers Online coming up in just a few minutes. And at the end of the program today, the general manager of the Nebraska Danger, Mike McCoy, to recap their year. They had their final game on Saturday. They had fan appreciation night last night, and they had the attendance record. They led the UFL in attendance at over 5,100 fans per ball game in a 5,400-seat arena. So all of that, plus Troutman's Tuesday Trivia coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. And it's U.S. Open Golf Week, and I don't even know if we're going to get a whole lot of time to talk about that, but we will tomorrow because we've got a two-hour show as we will be taking our Midway Auto Group broadcast booth
to Midway Chrysler, the southernmost of the two Midway dealerships in Kearney. 11-1 tomorrow. We will be live at Midway. Their Father's Day specials are going on, and we'll be talking about that as well as we go to the Midway Auto Dealership tomorrow. The new 2011 Chevy Silverado Motor Trends Truck of the Year is as low as $23,495. You can get up to $10,000 off all new Ram trucks. And it's all hassle-free for Father's Day. We encourage you to bring Dad to the Midway Auto Dealerships for special Father's Day savings and gifts. And anyone who purchases a new vehicle from the Midway Auto Group, Chevy Buick Cadillac, or Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, will get a $100 Cabela's or Builder's Warehouse gift card. That goes on Wednesday when we are there through Sunday or through Saturday. And we want you to have a happy Father's Day. We would like to see you join us if you get some time tomorrow, 11-1. We'll be out at the Midway Chrysler on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Talk more College World Series. Mike Fox of North Carolina, head coach, scheduled to join us on the show tomorrow. Also tomorrow, UNK Athletic Director John McBride. He's back from the MIAA meetings where he was last week. We'll get some info on that and the state of the UNK Athletic Program as they go into their final year of the Rocky Mountain Athletic Conference as a true lame duck member of the conference. We'll see what Athletic Director McBride thinks UNK may encounter. Husker fans know of what they thought they encountered the final year in the Big 12, especially in football. We'll see what John McBride has to say about that. And the Blue Gold, maybe have some final numbers on that was held last week. So that's coming up tomorrow on the show. Augie Garrido later in the week. Thursday, we're at the eight-man camp in Hastings, the Sertoma eight-man camp. We do it every year. Talk to the coaches, couple of the players. Get you ready for Saturday's eight-man game, which can be heard on The Breeze, 94.5 FM. A lot going on, folks. If you would like to join us, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. That's also the number you'll need for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Plus, the Dent Popper inbox, always open for your emails. And if you would like to include the three words of the week, you could win a large combo meal from Big Dally's Deli. I'll give you the words. They are party, Omaha, and decision. Party, Omaha, decision. If you use those three words in your email, you'll be eligible for our drawing on Friday. You don't have to use them, but if you do, you get a chance to win that Big Dally Deli combo. And I think Big Daddy has sent us an email with those three words of the week, Merritt. Should we read it or just...
Not yet.
Yeah, I think we just, you know, maybe whatever.
It might not fit in, you know.
What a difference of two super regionals last night. An incredible comeback by Virginia last night. And I guess I was pulling for the kids from Virginia. Not because Brian O'Connor pitched at Creighton, and not because he has ties to this area, and not because I have any dislike at all for the Anteaters at Cal Irvine, because it would have been great to see both of them there. I mean, I could have crossed a couple other teams off and said, hey, I'd love to see both of them there. But to be the number one team in the country most, if not all, of this season, to be playing at home in the regionals and super regionals, to take game one in a shutout the way they did on Saturday, and then all of a sudden, the best team in college baseball doesn't make it to Omaha. I'm glad they did, and now we'll see if they can take it all the way. 1-1, you got a kid that hits his first home run of the year for Virginia, tying the game at 1 in the sixth. We go to the ninth. It's not like Cal Irvine's been knocking the cover off the ball. They've only got three or four hits. They find a way to get the leadoff guy on. They're going to bunt him over. The catcher throws to second, and it goes into the outfield, and it was a little high, and the second baseman or shortstop covering, I guess, didn't really come off the bag, and so it's first and third, nobody out. Ground into a double play, but the guy scores, and so it's 2-1, and all of a sudden Virginia down to their last at bat. First guy out, second guy, the young man that had hit the home run earlier, hits a chopper to first, and bam, bam, you've got the best pitcher. He wasn't their relief pitcher, but you got the best pitcher for Cal Irvine on the mound, one out away with nobody on. All of a sudden, right back through his legs. The next one goes off the pitcher's leg for an infield hit. He walks the next batter on four pitches. They go get their closer, and he singles up the middle softly to bring both runs in, and Virginia wins it 3-2. And it was not that exciting in game two because Texas A&M scored six runs in the first and never looked back, beating Florida State by a score of 11-2. And so here are the pairings for the College World Series. Saturday, Vanderbilt will play North Carolina at 1. Texas and Florida will play at 6. Sunday, Virginia and Cal at 1, Texas A&M and South Carolina at 6. Every game here on ESPN Radio. We'll talk a lot more baseball as we catch up with the head coach of Cal, Dave Esker, and with the man covering South Carolina, Scott Hood of GamecockCentral.com. But when we come back, Sean Callahan of Huskers Online. Talk a little Husker football after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
Everything from the latest surgical procedures to designer frames and sunglasses. At Lind Eye Care and Optical, we're focused on you. Doctors Diana Lind, Pat Bierbauer, and Betsy Turk promise you the latest in care. And at Lind Eye Care and Optical, we have the most up-to-date styles in eyewear all under one roof. Focused on your vision, focused on your style. Call 308-236-8500 or visit us on the corner of 41st Street and 7th Avenue in Kearney. At Lind Eye Care and Optical, we're focused on you.
The 2011 NCAA College World Series, live from TD Ameritrade Park.
Line drive, base hit down the third baseline.
Every game, every pitch, every play.
In a hurry, dives, and he cannot make the play.
Go home for college baseball's national championship.
Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation brings you every game of the College World Series beginning Saturday, June 18th.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness as we head through the day today with a possibility of a few showers and storms developing with highs of 79. Winds out of the northwest develop at 10 to 15. Tonight, temperatures fall off to 56. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 66.
I don't know who the bigger dork is. I'm going to guess it's Daddy, though. I was going to say Happy Flag Day. But here's what Big Daddy, not in studio today for some reason. He can still get to his computer and send us this email. He goes, "What up, fellas? We all missed a great party Sunday night in Miami. $90,000 for champagne, a $20,000 tip. Well, all Cubans can party, but Mark takes it to a new level. Daddy says the decision to dance was the only poor move made all night by Dirk. Anyway, looking forward to the action in Omaha and looking forward to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals and another lunch from Doug." Whatever, Daddy. Andy says, "Make sure you play some Kiss today. Gene Simmons and Family Jewels premiere is tonight." He is such a geek. He is such a geek. That's love to all from Big Daddy. And we are joined now by someone a little more sane from Huskers Online, Sean Callahan. Anything you want to say about Daddy's geekness? I mean, I can't believe a man of that bulk is really just that strange.
First of all, he's sending me these emails, but he's not doing the show. So he can't sit down with you for an hour today? Where's he at?
I'm guessing he's either got internet and computer on his boat, or he's just on a beach somewhere tanning, which is kind of an all-day project. Sean, great to have you back on the show. There's not a whole lot, we hope, this time of the year. There was last year, obviously, with the move to the Big Ten Conference, and it seemed like we talked football year-round. But it seems like we've actually kind of been on a break here since the spring game. But the big story is that Cody Green, a couple of weeks ago, made it official that he was going to leave the program, even though he said on this show in most of his interviews, at least when asked, that he was happy at Nebraska. I don't think anybody's shocked here. One of the folks at Huskers Online got a chance, was the first one, I think, to actually get a chance to talk and ask Cody some questions. But should anybody even be the least bit surprised that he's decided to move on?
No, yeah, no. Mike Matea, one of our writers, had a great relationship with Cody from his recruiting days, and Cody chose to talk with him this week, and was the first time he talked with anybody in depth since leaving Nebraska. And you know, it comes down to being a competitor, and the bottom line is all these quarterbacks, when they're, you know, these four-star type, five-star type guys, they come to the school wanting to probably be a 2 to 3 year starter. And I think Cody Green, obviously with Taylor Martinez ahead of him, and this spring really not getting a huge look to take that starting job from Taylor, and the new offense changed. I just think he wanted to be a starting quarterback, and it wasn't going to happen at Nebraska. He even wanted to possibly even move to tight end, and they didn't want to do that with him because of the depth concerns. You know, with the quarterback position, they still wanted to have him there kind of as that serviceable backup who, you know, he's been 4-0 as a starter in his career that can come in and win you some games on the road, as he's proven over his career. And so I think for him, he just wants to go somewhere now where he can have a chance to win a starting job.
I've said on the show that I believed if Cody Green stayed with the program, he would have been the third-string quarterback. What were your thoughts on that?
It certainly looked like that was happening. I think Breon Carnes was really a good fit for this new system, and you saw what he did in the spring. And he's only a redshirt freshman, and he runs a little better than Cody. He's a little more athletic. So I think the new offense does fit Breon, and it would have been interesting to see how things would have played out if there would have been an in-game injury this year. They probably would have went with Cody Green, but let's just say Martinez would have been knocked out for the next week. Would they have started Green in that game, or would they have gone with a guy like Breon Carnes and got him ready for the job? I mean, so I think, in all reality, you know, Cody, it was looking like that was happening, and you know, even though there's only two scholarship quarterbacks on the team right now, I just think Cody felt like he was going to be the odd man out.
Sean Callahan of Huskers Online is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Cody has always been class, said the right thing, done the right thing, and I think you can actually say he's meant it. It's not a show. It's not a front. But you take a look, he has said the main reason he wanted to leave is that the offense just wasn't what he was brought in to run. How different, and we're talking about maybe a new offense this fall. What are you hearing about how different the offense is or is going to be from what he actually, and remind the fans, maybe what he was brought into?
Well, you got to remember, Sean Watson was a traditional West Coast offense guy, and I think his hand, you know, he may have felt more pressure to evolve things into what Bo wanted. So the last year or two, particularly the last year, we didn't really see what Sean Watson's offense really was. I mean, it was more of what Bill Callahan ran, which was a pro-style West Coast that featured the run over the pass, but still, you know, it was a very multiple look. And I think we started to see it evolving more to what it's going to now. And now this system will be, well, like we saw at Kansas. Tim Beck installed the offense at Kansas, the offense with Todd Reesing and Des Briscoe. He recruited Todd Reesing for Mark Mangino. He recruited Des Briscoe. And that was an offense that he ran down at Kansas. In fact, Tim told me a long time ago that he brought all his cut-ups with him. Whatever, when he was at Kansas, all the cut-ups that he used with Reesing and those guys to install that system, he brought with him back to Nebraska because that was his stuff. And that, to me, I think is what we're going to see. It's going to be an up-tempo, run-and-shoot, quick-hitting spread offense like we saw Todd Reesing run, the one that was really one of the hardest offenses to stop when it was operating at its highest level.
Talking with Sean Callahan here on the Doug and Daddy Show, just looking over and reading the interview on Huskers Online, I thought there were two or three questions and responses that really stood out to me. The shortest response, when he was asked about Taylor Martinez, what should that tell us about Taylor?
Well, he's just a quiet guy. He keeps to himself. You know, you go back and look at guys like Eric Crouch, even Bobby Newcomb, they weren't necessarily guys that lit the locker room up with their personalities. But, you know, I think Taylor last year as a freshman, it's just not in his DNA to be a guy that's going to cause noise in the locker room and, you know, speak up, and especially as a freshman starter. So I don't think that's a surprise to anybody when Cody said that Taylor's a guy that he really didn't have much of a relationship with, because I don't think very many guys on this football team have a relationship with him. Eric Martin lives with him and, you know, a couple other guys like that. But I don't think he's a guy that really gets close to a lot of people. And like I said, Bobby Newcomb was just like that. Bobby wasn't a guy that had a lot of close friends when he was on the team. And, you know, Eric Crouch was the same way. He was a pretty private, quiet guy that had a handful of guys that he was close to. But other than that, wasn't like a guy that was going to, you know, be like a Joe Gans, for example, who was a captivating personality that really controlled the locker room.
I think it also points out, I mean, a lot of Husker fans still having a hard time believing Taylor Martinez's persona and the way he presents himself. But it, again, just like Cody, it does not seem to be an act, and it doesn't seem to be cocky arrogance. It's just he's a nervous kid or he's a quiet kid, and that's the way it is. The most interesting question or response, I thought, from the interview was when Cody was asked if he got a fair shake to win the starting quarterback spot at Nebraska. Now, again, he didn't whine and moan and throw him under the bus, but he also didn't say, yeah, I thought I had a fair shake.
No, and I think, you know, he had his opportunity. I will say this. He had his opportunities, you know, down at Baylor, his first start, they're up 20-3, and, you know, he made a couple of mistakes that made that game a lot closer than it should have been. And then against Oklahoma the next week, he got a start, you know, really looked nervous, and they went back to Zach Lee at that moment during that game against Oklahoma that Nebraska ended up winning. So I think that was his opportunity there. If Cody Green, you know, could have stepped it up that night against Oklahoma under the lights at Memorial Stadium and led Nebraska to a victory instead of Zach Lee coming in my opinion, Cody Green probably would have been the starter from that point on. I mean, how do you bench a guy that beats Oklahoma? So I think he had his opportunity at that point as a true freshman, didn't take advantage of it, and then they went back to Zach, and then Taylor Martinez came out of nowhere to win things, and, you know, and his athletic ability and running ability just gave this offense something it didn't have. When Taylor was running 80 yards, it's just hard to compete against that. I don't care. And, you know, I think Cody just had so many inconsistent moments, and he never took that step. I think everybody was waiting for him to have the moment where he came in and just took that step, and I don't think he ever took that step at Nebraska in his career.
Sean, he said Cody Green has talked to Tulsa, Houston, Texas A&M, and Baylor, but he's actually visited K-State, and it sounds, listening to his interview with Sipple on Huskers Extra and reading what I've read on Husker Online, it seems like that might be where he wants to go. What is your thought on where he would go, where he would fit?
You know, that's the question, where he thinks he's the best fit and who has a scholarship for him. I mean, that's the most important thing. Not everybody may have a scholarship available just to hand to you, so there might be some sacrifices you have to make as a walk-on for a year or a semester, and you don't know how these things operate and work when you talk about a late transfer. But, you know, Bill Snyder, he's a great coach. He always finds a way to adapt his system around his quarterback. So I think Cody, you know, that would be a great place for him. You know, with Baylor, after Griffin leaves, that job's wide open, and, you know, Cody could sit down there this year. And to me, that could be a spot for him to look at. Houston kind of, you know, puzzles me a little bit because everyone, common knowledge is Kevin Sumlin probably won't be there much longer, and you just don't know where that offense will be after Kevin Cobb leaves down there. He's had such success, and he doesn't throw the – it's a real short passing offense. I think Kevin Cobb only had a few passing plays over 25 yards the last couple of years. He's a real short timing guy. But, yeah, I think Kansas State would be a really good spot for him, and you know their quarterback play is in question right now. They did bring in a highly touted JUCO quarterback from Blinn named Justin Tuggles. Blinn is where Cameron Newton went. He was their starter there after Cam Newton. So Tuggles will come in there and a couple other guys and compete for the starting job this year for Snyder.
Last minute with Sean Callahan of HuskersOnline.com. What else is going on in the world? How are we sitting in recruiting? Is it really that quiet time? Are the coaches having some relaxing time like they said they would?
Well, camps are going on right now. They're wrapping up as we speak. And, you know, it hasn't been just there hasn't been a ton of just great campers in, but, you know, this week we've confirmed a couple of guys. Alonzo Moore, an athlete out of Louisiana with some major offers from the SEC and some other areas, came up. And then a four-star wide receiver, Kenny Lawler, has also been here at camp. And that's all kind of just developed, and we broke those stories on our site here the last couple of days, and Lawler's out of California. But what you have to remember, this class is only going to be, 14, maybe 15 guys. It's the smallest modern-day class in Nebraska recruiting history in terms of the 85 scholarships. So there's just not a lot of wiggle room. They're still trying to find a quarterback in this class with everything that's happened. They obviously need to get one now, and they're in on some high-profile kids, four-star type guys. They're not going to take a running back this year. They're loaded there with the kids they're bringing in. They're looking at one to two tight ends, one to two wide receivers, and three offensive linemen. I think one of the bigger stories that came out of camp, though, was Mike Schoff out of Cambridge. I think everybody expected him to get that offer. Well, he did not get an offer at camp. The coaching staff kind of said, we need to see more of you now during the season, which in summary kind of means he didn't live up to the expectations maybe they thought he was going to do when he came in there. And at this point, there is not an in-state prospect with an offer, and I've never seen that happen. For this late in the game, going into July now, usually you've got one or two in-state kids offered at this point, if not way more than that, and there is not a kid in the state. Drew Ott from Giltner is a kid whose name has really picked up steam. I know he's in your listening area there, 6'4", 240, defensive end. Kansas State and Iowa have offered Ott. Nebraska obviously looking at him as well. The problem is their numbers. They're in on some high guys right now. And, you know, if they take him as a defensive end target, you know, they only can take one to two defensive ends. Well, Greg McMullen, the number one defensive end in Ohio, is one of those guys they're about to lock up right now. And if you take a Drew Ott, you know, then you're really giving, you know, you're in on some five-star guys right now, and you may not be able to take those guys.
That is outstanding stuff, as always, Sean. We appreciate it. Are you ready for the College World Series?
Yep, I'm planning on we're going up Monday and Thursday, and my college roommate and Justin Seeley, good friend of mine, coaches for Texas A&M, so I'm definitely going to try to get up there and watch A&M coach A&M play on. I think they play Sunday and Tuesday for sure, so it will be exciting. I think you got to look at them as a crowd favorite, and you got to like Cal with what happened to them. You know, Cal was going to drop their program.
Yeah.
This year, and for them to get into Omaha, it kind of reminds you of the movie Major League. You know, no one wanted them to win, and they came back and not only won, they won the whole thing.
Well, Coach Esker is going to join us here in about 15 minutes on the Doug and Daddy Show, so we're looking forward to that. And I'll be down there Monday as well. Maybe I'll bother you.
Looking forward. I'll be in the stands. I won't be in the in the press box. I'll be enjoying the festivities around the new TD Ameritrade Park for the first time. I've not been there, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, bring your hip waders, and we'll see you next week, Sean. Thanks so much for the time.
All right, thanks a lot.
Sean Callahan, HuskersOnline.com, the very latest in all Husker news, especially on the football scene. Interesting things on Mike Schoff and Drew Ott and all that is going on with the Husker program. We need to take a break. When we come back, Mike McCoy joins us in the last segment from the Nebraska Danger. We'll be talking with the head baseball coach at Cal, Dave Esker, and Scott Hood from GamecockCentral.com to tell us about the defending national champions when we come back.
The thing about machines and engines, if they ain't broke, they will be. It's just a matter of degrees and time, and that's why K&K Parts are good people to know. At K&K, hard-to-find parts aren't hard to find, and neither is top-quality machining when you need a part created, or batteries for everything from camcorders to tractors. Though, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is, head to K&K, 1204 South Central Kearney.
Hard-to-find parts aren't hard to find here. K&K Parts Company.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. In business today, people are on the go, you know that. Whether they're working from home, a different office, or traveling, it's almost impossible to get everybody in the same room for a meeting. That's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. Everybody can meet online. Doesn't matter where you are. GoToMeeting.com allows you to collaborate on documents in real time, like being in the same room. It's so easy. Get started with GoToMeeting in just minutes. Attendees can join with just a click. Plus, you can hold as many online meetings as you want for as long as you need for a low, flat monthly rate. How cool is that? And free phone conferencing and voice over IP included. GoToMeeting.com. Try it free for 45 days just for my listeners. That's an additional 15 days if you use the promo code ESPN. For this special extended trial offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the try it free button, use the promo code ESPN. In business today, people are on the go. You can't get them in the same room. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days and be sure to type in ESPN. GoToMeeting.com.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get the hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With painless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hail breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see partial sun and some cloudiness as we head through the day today with a possibility of a few showers and storms developing with highs of 79. Winds out of the northwest develop at 10 to 15. Tonight, temperatures fall off to 56. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly. Right now, 70.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
A Flag Day edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation back at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. We're at Midway tomorrow for a special extended Doug and Daddy Show as we take a look at the U.S. Open and continue our coverage of the College World Series getting underway on Saturday. All of our friends on the Doug and Daddy Show taken care of by the fine folks at BK, where right now you can get two original chicken sandwiches for just $4 or for breakfast, which is served until 11 every morning, two breakfast croissant sandwiches or biscuit sandwiches for $4. Do it right. Two locations in Kearney, also Lexington, Cozad, and North Platte. They're on Facebook. Just type in BK North, Doug and Daddy Show on Facebook. Type in Central Nebraska or ESPN Superstation. It's going to pop up there for you. Hit the like button. We let you know the guests that are on and all the great sporting events that are right here on ESPN Radio, like every game of the College World Series. And last year, every game of the College World Series was a good one for South Carolina as they were the national champions. And they have found their way back to Omaha. And Scott Hood of GamecockCentral.com joins us here on ESPN Radio. Scott, good morning. Great to catch up with you. Thanks for the time.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing fine. We look forward. And, I mean, let's face it. Every College World Series fan loves when South Carolina gets here. And every vendor loves when South Carolina gets here because of the gear that is selling out with Cox on the hat and Gamecocks and all of that and ha-ha, funny. But this team now is no joke. They are the defending national champions, and they have found another way with a solid year as the number four national seed to get to Omaha. Any surprise in your mind that this team is back in Omaha?
A little bit. I think when Jackie Bradley Jr. suffered his wrist injury in late April was pretty much lost for the season. I think at that point, most people have told you that South Carolina had absolutely no chance to make it back to Omaha because obviously he's been the best player, obviously the best known player on the Gamecocks, and certainly the one of the best defensive outfields in all of college baseball and hitting in the middle of the lineup. And without him and without Adam Matthews, who was the starting right fielder before he got hurt in late March, without those two guys, it was a tough road, but somehow the USC persevered. They pretty much won with pitching and great defense, just enough hitting from guys like Christian Walker and Scott Wingo, and somehow they've made it back to Omaha. I have to be the first to say I'm a little bit surprised because even I probably even wrote and said after Jackie got hurt that this team didn't have much of a chance to make it back to Omaha.
And they did sweep Connecticut, but it wasn't exactly a blowout in Game 2 with five of those runs coming in the ninth inning. How did you think the team played in their Super Regional?
Well, I think they played fine. They basically won with the two things I mentioned, pitching and defense. They turned, I think really the series turned in Game 1 when George Springer, who was the first-round draft pick from UConn, that got picked by the Astros, the 11th pick overall, hit a rocket down the third baseline with a man on first, and then Adrian Morales, the third baseman, made an absolutely fantastic stop and turned it into a 5-4-3 double play. And after, at that point, I think that sort of took a lot of the wind out of UConn's sails. And over the last maybe 14 or 15 innings of the Super Regional, South Carolina pretty much dominated. That was really a momentum changer. Even UConn head coach Jim Pendus sort of said that was really the turning play of the Super Regional, and I have to agree with that. But certainly Michael Rock put on a splendid pitching performance in Game 1, shutting down the UConn offense. And then in Game 2, it was just a matter of, again, more defense. Three straight innings ended with double plays, all great defensive plays by USC. They've been one of the best defensive teams in the country for a long time. It's been one of the Ray Tanner staples. As head coach, he's always emphasized playing solid defense. And we saw that again in Game 2 of the Super Regional. And of course, he had the big ninth inning to win it. And after that, the great crowd here here in Columbia, too. I think anyone who watched the game on TV understands what I'm talking about in terms of the atmosphere and the environment that was here at Carolina Stadium. And I'm certainly a lot of those same fans will be in Omaha this week.
We're talking with Scott Hood of GamecockCentral.com about the defending national champion Gamecocks headed to Omaha for their game coming up in the Super Regionals against Texas A&M, who got in last night, the last team into the field. Take me through coming in to the regionals, because we know how tough the SEC is, and a lot of great teams are going to get bounced in the SEC tournament, and that's what happened to the Gamecocks. They go 1-2, and then a very nail-biting 2-1 game against the 4-seed Georgia Southern. How nervous was this ball club at that time of the year?
Yeah. Well, you have to remember that last year, USC went 0-2 at the SEC tournament and turned it around. And in fact, when it was trailing Bucknell 5-1 in the seventh inning of their first NCAA regional game, before they rallied to win that game, and then they went on, and the rest is history. But certainly, so actually winning one game in the SEC tournament is actually certainly a better performance than they had there than last year. But I'm not sure Ray Tanner has always put a lot of emphasis on the SEC tournament. I think USC knew that they were going to host the regional. They knew they were already in the tournament. They did stop Michael Roth the first game against Auburn. They came back and won that game. But after that, they lost their next two. And I don't think there's a lot of crying, because that allows some of their other pitchers to get some rest. But I think right now, coming in off the regional win at home and then the super regional win over UConn, I think right now the team is very confident. They've always been a very confident team anyways. But that's what happens when you win a national championship. But certainly, I think the confidence of the team is sky high at this point. And I think they're going there thinking they can win. Remember, they've knocked off, I know, on different opposite sides of the bracket, but they beat both Florida and Vanderbilt in three-game series this year. So, obviously, they know they can compete with the best teams in Omaha. And I think and I'm looking for them to make another run here over the next couple of weeks.
Scott Hood of GamecockCentral.com is with us on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. When you pull up the stat sheet of most of the teams that are still playing this time of the year, they're going to be good offensively and they're going to be good pitching. And, oh, my goodness, how does a kid in Michael Roth with a 1.02 ERA have three losses? He's 13-3, and he's barely above a run of ball game. It looks like he is the man for this baseball club.
Yeah, he's lost three in those three games. They're all three low-scoring games, I can assure you. I can only count really maybe one performance by Michael this year that was below very good, in my opinion. I think that was maybe the Arkansas game where he got hit kind of hard. But other than that, Michael Rockton, absolutely fantastic. And really, it all started, if you recall, last year when he spun that complete game three hitter against Clemson in the first game of that winners in the winners bracket game, well, one of the brackets to go to the national championship series, and obviously USC and Clemson are huge rivals, and so that got a lot of attention here in the Palmetto State. But certainly that was really the beginning of the run. Ever since that performance, Michael Roth has been absolutely lights out, and that game really sort of marked the transition from him being a relief pitcher and a situational guy who come in face left-handers into a starting pitcher, and he's emerged this year as possibly one of the top, if not the top, starting pitcher in the SEC. And he's outdueled three guys that were picked in the first round of the Major League Draft last week. You know, he beat, obviously he beat Matt Barnes from UConn, and he beat Sonny Gray from Vandy, and he beat Alex Meyer from Kentucky, and all those guys were picked in the first round. So he loves pitching in big game situations, as we've seen, and I'm sure he'll do well again on Sunday night against Texas A&M because he loves the big stage, and I think he'll do well.
Four of the top five team ERAs in the country are here at the College World Series, and inexplicably UCLA, who had the two of the top three draft picks, is the only team that's not. South Carolina's fifth in the country, and my goodness, Matt Price has come in and slammed the door with 18 saves this year. Give me a little more about him.
About Price, yes. He's another guy that started out as his ambitions was always when he came out here to USC was to be a starting pitcher. But I think sort of last year, middle part of last year, he sort of transitioned into the closer role and really began to accept that role. And I think he understands now that that's probably his best road to get to the major leagues and to be a relief pitcher. I think that's why he was picked in the sixth round last week, and I think he realizes that's his best chance. So, you know, he's been dominant in that role, really. You know, it's almost to the point now, it's almost like the Yankees with Mariano Rivera. I think whenever Matt comes in, it's pretty much shutdown time. He did that over the weekend against UConn. And I think just like Rivera, he pretty much has one or two pitches. He has an unbelievable slider, as fans in Omaha found out last year, that can be downright unhittable at times if he spots it right, just like Rivera. So I'm looking for Matt again to have to come in and play a very critical role here for South Carolina and Omaha, also with all the games being close and hard-fought games and all the talent on these 18s being pretty close. It's going to probably come down to whose bullpens can pitch the best, and I think USC definitely feels confident in their bullpen with Matt Price and John Taylor and the other guys down there.
Well, Scott, what do you think? There are no easy matchups, so I'm not even going to go there because they play Texas A&M in the first round. Number one, Virginia's on their side, but they are the defending national champs, and as you have reiterated, most of these guys were on the team last year. What do you think South Carolina's chances are for this year to have a chance to repeat?
Well, obviously they're going to get past their first game. It's been a long – I think they're 0-7 in the last seven opening games of the College World Series, so they've got to get over that hump, in my opinion. Obviously, it didn't bother them last year. But every time you lose your first game, get in, fall down the loser bracket, it's very, very difficult, as they found out over in the first six appearances up until last year. So I'm looking for USC to possibly win that first game. I think Michael Rothaus needs to pitch well. But again, the Texas A&M's got a good, pretty good pitcher going too, and Ross Stripling is 14-2. So that's going to be an unbelievable pitching battle, in my opinion, on that Sunday night. Probably going to be a 2-1, 3-2 type game. Just like USC's opening game last year against Oklahoma, which was 4-3. So very similar type game. So I think USC needs to prevail. And obviously, but with Virginia just sitting there too, you know, they've been ranked 1, 2, or 3 most of the year. And they've got some outstanding pitching as well too. So USC definitely wants to win that first game and really play from a position of strength rather than have to come through the loser's bracket like they did last year.
Well, Scott, we look forward to seeing you and all the Gamecocks in Omaha this week and hopefully for a long stay again. We appreciate the time on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. Have a good one.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to being in Omaha. I look forward to being there for a while.
All right. Sounds good. Of course, they were there from, you know, you lose that first game, you got to come all the way back through, and South Carolina did it last year. In just a second, we are about ready to hook up here with the head coach at the University of California in Dave Esker, so stay with us for that as we're making connection right now. But we also want to remind you, tomorrow on the show we'll be drawing out the winner for our Doug and Daddy entry to the Michelob Ultra Broken Bow Country Club 2-day, two-man extravaganza. It's this Saturday and Sunday, and if you would like to be a part of that, call now, 888-455-ESPN. If you've not already got registered, we're just taking a few phone calls a day. We'll draw out a winner tomorrow. They play 18 holes. Every 9 holes on Saturday and Sunday is a different format. You've got alternate shot, scramble, best ball, aggregate, and all you have to do is a call in. We draw somebody out tomorrow. You pick your teammate. It's not like we're picking two different people and putting you together. We put you in. It's a $70 per man. Otherwise, and if you'd like to get in, contact the Broken Bow Country Club, 872-6444, 872-6444, or go to brokenbowcountryclub.com. It is a 2-day, 2-man extravaganza coming up this Saturday and Sunday in Broken Bow. Every game of the College World Series can be heard right here on ESPN Radio, and we continue our coverage by heading to California, where they are one of the teams that are very fired up to make it to Omaha like they all are, but it's the first time since 1992, and Dave Esker is the head coach of the Cal Bears. He's been there as a player. He's been there as an assistant coach, but now for the first time, he's there as a head coach. Coach, congratulations. Can you tell us right now what it feels like anticipating that trip to Omaha?
Boy, I'm telling you, we are so excited to be going to Omaha. It's been quite a year and quite a ride for the University of California Golden Bears, and it is almost too good to be true to be ended up in Omaha.
I want to go back to something you said when you returned home from the regionals, is that you thought that your ball club found themselves again after losing to Baylor and playing that elimination game in the regionals. It wasn't like you guys were red hot heading into regional play. What was going on with your ball club, and what was it that allowed this team to find their talent again?
You know, we were kind of hit and miss a little bit. We'd have some good games, but then we'd trip and stumble a little bit, and we were capable of playing great baseball. We had done that before, but we just kind of lost our flow. And in the middle of the regional, I think we got back to that innocent team we were at the start of the year, where it was just, hey, listen, whoever's in the lineup, that's who we are. We're all going to pull together. Nobody's going to have any baggage to carry, whether their average isn't what they want or they're not performing the way they want. It's just going to be, from here on out, it's all about this game, this at-bat, this pitch. And when we got to that point again, boy, it was just like a big weight was lifted off our shoulder. Nobody was trying too hard. It was just about trying enough. And you could really feel it in our dugout. And we had that feeling once before. We were that team. We had good flow. We had good baseball. And, you know, after that Alcorn State game, I literally came back to the hotel and I said, you know what, we found our team again. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but at least we're going to play a few more games with our team.
Did you not have, I guess, what was your feeling going into the Alcorn State game?
Well, we played pretty well at the end of our opening round game against Baylor, but we just didn't play well enough. We gave them too much. We walked too many hitters, and we're down 6-0, and we had a chance late. We ended up losing 6-4. We had a guy thrown at home plate. But we were still grinding a little bit, and things weren't coming easy for us. And you know, after that Alcorn State game, I felt like, you know, at the least we had the team atmosphere that we were built on, and I knew that whether, you know, we were going to win or lose, we had Rice the next game. Whether win or lose, we were going to go down fighting, and we were going to play a good ball game.
Cal Bear head baseball coach Dave Esker is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. All right, it doesn't get any more exciting than what Devin Rodriguez does. It was kind of like what Virginia did last night. I mean, you're down to your final strike, and you figure a base hit, probably going to win the ball game. It at least ties it. You're sitting there. Take us through your emotions before that game-winning hit.
Well, you know, I was going through that at bat with Devin a little bit, and we didn't put ourselves in the best situation. You know, we fouled out the first two fastballs, and he fouled them off over their dugout. And so he wasn't ahead of it at all. And then they went, you know, but I did know they were going to go to the breaking ball to try to put him away, and they wasted a fastball up and away, and I knew that was kind of just for show, and I knew it was time for them to go to the breaking pitch, and I knew if they got to the dirt, they would probably have a good chance of getting maybe at least a check swing, but they threw a strike, and he put a good swing on it, and he rifled the ball right through the four hole. And when that second one came across, the unleash of emotion from our team was something like you've never seen, or maybe have seen all the time when the teams pile up on the mound. And it was a great moment in our history of our program, and probably the best moment since I've been a head coach here.
Talking with Dave Esker, the head baseball coach at Cal, and you look at what you've done in your 10 years, there's not been any 50-15 records, but it's been very consistent in years where you've done some good things. You had a lot of these kids played last year as a very young team. You turn it over this year, and then all of a sudden, you're hosting a super regional, which I'm sure no one could have possibly planned on, against the biggest Cinderella of the whole tournament in Dallas Baptist. Talk about and you really handled them well. Talk about the way your team did play this weekend.
Well, we were fortunate. You're right. We were able to host, and we hosted at Santa Clara University. And to have our home fans there And to experience that energy in a super regional was something like we've never experienced before. And, you know, with what the program had gone through as far as being cut and then had to be resurrected and revived, that's thanks to just countless number of people who opened their wallets, quite frankly, to bring this program back, whether it was alumni, friends of the program, parents, well-wishers, just fans of baseball, people who just were standing up for athletics in general. You know, it was a wide range of people, but mainly the alumni and the people who are close to our program. And to have them there in person, watching what they brought back and what they gave the opportunity to 35 young men, that energy was unlike anything we've ever experienced. And it's cliche to say, but there's no doubt we had a 10th man at our Super Regional, and it was our crowd.
And, Dave, a lot of fans in Nebraska, they're going to latch on to College World Series teams, but they're not going to know the history of Cal. And I think when you just said our program wasn't going to be here anymore, folks just went, what? What is he talking about? I know you could go on for a half hour, but could you give the fans the nuts and bolts of what exactly happened?
Well, you know, it's in September, I was brought into the athletic department's office and was told that the program was not going to continue, that because of budgetary reasons, they were going to eliminate five sports from the University of California Athletic Department, and that baseball was going to be one of the sports that was going to be dropped. And there wasn't much hope given to resurrecting the program. There were no parameters given, like, well, if you do this, you can come back. It was basically cut and dried. And we were in our informal workout, so our kids, and we had freshmen that hadn't even been to their first formal team practice yet, and were told that the program was going to be eliminated. So quite a shock. But I'm going to tell you one thing, which is a testament to our team this year. We had our team meeting that day. I think they got the news right around 11 o'clock. We had a team meeting right around noon. And I told the team, I said, hey, listen, I understand what just happened. It's a big shock. It's big news. If we need a couple days, and in particular, if you need a couple days to get your thoughts together, talk to your parents, talk to us as coaches, we're here to help you. If we need a couple days to kind of get our feet back on the ground, we're going to take it. I have no problem with that. And to a man, they voted that they would practice that day at 1:15. And I knew that this was a different team. They were committed to each other. They knew what was in front of them. They knew they had a type of team that was a playoff team and could do something in the playoffs. Quite frankly, we knew that from day one. And they weren't going to give up on that dream and that goal quite yet, even though there was a huge obstacle and a big bump in the road.
Well, we have that situation with a program right at the University of Nebraska at Omaha. Unfortunately, it wasn't baseball, but it didn't work out for their teams. And maybe Cal can really shock the world here and be playing in that championship. But to get there, we look at your team. Let's preview them for our last minute here with Coach Dave Esker of Cal. It looks like your pitching staff has been outstanding. The hitters are coming along. You got plenty of guys that are hitting over 300. Where do you think the strength of the team is, and who's going to get that ball in game one?
Well, you know, our team was built on pitching and defense, and of course that's cliche as far as what it takes to win baseball games, but it's true. You know, with the bat standards being changed this year, there's a higher premium on pitching and defense, and with the difference for our club this year over last year, we were a regional team last year, our pitching's a year older and our defense is much better. You know, I think we matured as an infield defense, and Marcus Simeon, our shortstop, is kind of the backbone of our defense. His improvement over the past year has been just the catalyst of us improving our pitching staff and our whole team. So that's where we're gonna like a lot of the teams that are here. They have to have both of those. Those are the key components. But we can offense a little bit as well. You know, Tony Renda, the player of the year of the Pac-10. You know, we're so thankful to have him. He's kind of our backbone of our offense. He's our second baseman, but he's just a tremendous offensive player and just a fearless hitter. He's kind of symbolizes who we are as a team. He's just a grinder who's fearless. And Chad Crist, our catcher, another All Pac-10 performer, has been a 2-year All Pac-10 player. He hits in the middle of our lineup, and those are the guys that we're going to go to for the big at bats and who are going to get the key RBIs for us. But we feel like up and down the lineup, we've got the type of offense the kids can contribute. We play a little bit of a hybrid game. We can play some small ball, indicative of the West Coast, but we'd like to believe that we can hit some doubles too and drive the ball when given the opportunity.
Coach Dave Esker of the Cal Bears headed to the College World Series. Coach, last question. I was surprised to see that you hadn't played UC Irvine. What were your thoughts as you were watching the possibility of not drawing the number one team in the country, which I know you're going to say you're going to play whoever's ahead of you, but what were your thoughts as you were watching the ninth inning last night?
Well, you know my thoughts, what they were exactly was, I was even more thankful about the position that we were in because that's how tough it is to get here. I mean, UC Irvine had a one-run lead with two outs and two strikes in the ninth. And Coach Mike Gillespie is one of the great – he's a Hall of Fame coach. And to see that their team have to go through that pain and to see how hard it is to really close it out and actually get there made me even more thankful of the position that we're in because there is no guarantees and there is no clear-cut way to get to Omaha. You have to have a lot of talent and a little bit of luck, and you've got to be in the right situation. So – you know what, in that moment, I wasn't pulling necessarily for any one team based on who would be easier for us to play, but to see that happen and with a team that I respect and coaches that I respect, boy, I just really, really was thankful that we're getting this opportunity.
Coach, thanks so much for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. You've been there as a player and assistant, and now it's your team, and we look forward to seeing the Golden Bears in Omaha for Game 1 Sunday against Virginia. Best of luck to the Bears.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach. Sure appreciate it. Cal Bears, what an interesting story, and they are the definite underdog coming as a 3 seed in their regional and moving on. Tomorrow, among our guests, as we continue to schedule them on the show, North Carolina's Mike Fox, Augie Garrido is going to join us this week. We have calls out to every institution, and we want to thank Cal for being first on the list today. Also, had a lot of folks registered. We're going to cut off the registrations now for the two-man giveaway at the two-man extravaganza in Broken Bow this weekend. Matt, Tim, and Larry, Alan, Jesse, and Dave, Scott, Ed, and Tom, they are all registered. We'll draw out a winner tomorrow. When we come back, Mike McCoy wraps up the show with us from the Nebraska Danger, but it is time for Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Every Tuesday, we give a lucky listener a chance to win a $25 gift card. We're going to take the calls off the air today because we are running a little bit long, but here is your Troutman's Tuesday Trivia question. If you've not won in the last 2 months, you're eligible. 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. We've been talking about the good pitching so far that it looks like we're going to see in the College World Series. There have only been two no-hitters in the College World Series, and one has not happened. It hasn't happened in the last 50 years, but there's only been two no-hitters. The first was thrown by a Texas pitcher, Jim Erler of Texas, threw the first no-hitter back in 1950. In 1960, Jim Wixon of this Big 12 school threw the second no-hitter in the College World Series. Jim Wixon of this Big 12 school threw the second no-hitter in College World Series history, the last one to be thrown. Which school did he pitch at? Call now at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776, and you'll be the winner on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia.
I am Professor Nathaniel Burke from the University of Farmers, Hallowed Institute of Higher Insurance Learning, and this is a pop quiz. True or false? To save money on auto insurance, you must forego an agent and go it alone. Solo. Wits against the world. No compass. The answer is false. A Farmer's agent is trained by me to save you money.
Call a Farmer's agent to see how you can save on auto insurance. Find your local agent at farmers.com. We are insurance.
We are Farmers.
Coverage not available in all areas.
Hey, Golic, you know why I stay at a La Quinta Inns and Suites when I'm on business trips?
Let me guess. The massive workspace, the reward program with fast, free nights. No, wait. The pillow top beds in every room.
No, those are good reasons.
Oh, I know. You make your own waffles.
No, that's why you love La Quinta.
Oh, waffles.
You're drooling, Golic. No, the real reason, after a night's stay at La Quinta, I feel rested and ready. So whatever I'm there to do, I'm going to knock it out of the park. And that's funny because I'm a sports guy. Get it? Knock it out of the park?
Yeah, sports guy. More like idiot guy.
Was that called for?
La Quinta takes care of everything so you can take care of business.
Book your next successful stay at LQ.com.
At Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram and Kearney, we're all revved up and ready to go. Because summertime means savings time. And this week, we're celebrating Dad's Day in a big way with hassle-free pricing on everything. Bring the big guy on down and let us show him what hassle-free is all about. Check out the new 2011 Dodge Ram truck and be Dad's favorite when you tell him that he can get up to $10,000 off on that Ram truck. Dad knows vacation time is van time. And our selection of new Chrysler Town and Country vans has never been better. Right now, Dad can save
save over $4,000 on minivans. And he'll appreciate the over $3,600 in savings on the new Dodge Durango. Plus, when you buy any new vehicle at Midway this week, you get your choice of a $100 gift card from either Cabela's or Builder's Warehouse. And Midway's one-year free maintenance. So come see the selection and the savings on South 2nd Avenue in Kearney or online at thinkmidway.com. Think hassle-free for Father's Day. Think Midway.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
My credit card, all my cash, deed to my house, oldest child's birth certificate, TV.
Nobody likes surprise repair shop charges. That's why you should trust the certified technicians at Auto Tech Specialists of Kearney. When Aaron, Scott, and Todd put their heads together, there's almost half a century of experience to solve most problems. And every vehicle receives a free safety inspection. Most repairs are warranted for 12 months or 12,000 miles. Surprise? Now you can take your vehicle to Auto Tech Specialists at 25th and I for no surprises.
It's your chance to win bragging rights and great flag prizes June 17th at the 6th Annual Jerseys Four-Man Scramble. Sign up today at Jerseys for the Four-Man Scramble Golf Tournament June 17th at Meadowlark Hills. It's $300 a team, and join us afterwards at Jerseys for dinner, drinks, and awards. Sponsored by Kearney Kino, Chief Custom Home, H&H Distributing, Klinger's Plumbing and Heating, Fairbanks Irrigation, Storm Hockey, and Emeritus Investment Corp.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We've got a winner on Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Who was our winner today, Marin?
We got Bill from Kearney.
Bill knew that the second and last no-hitter in the College World Series was thrown by Jim Wixon of Oklahoma State. He threw that against North Carolina back in 1960. There has not been a no-hitter in the College World Series since, and I can see why with the way the game has evolved and the way that the bats ping and take the ball right out of the ballpark. I know Jim Rome will have a lot of fun with that next week, but you won't hear a lot of Jim because all of the games from the College World Series here on ESPN Radio. Well, the season wrapped up this weekend, the inaugural season for the Nebraska Danger in the Indoor Football League, and interested to get some thoughts here from the general manager, Mike McCoy, who has patiently stood by here on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Mike, I appreciate you waiting a few extra minutes for us. How are you today?
Absolutely. Fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Fan appreciation night last night, and it looked like you had a good turnout, and it looked like the fans love this team because you're averaging over 5,100 per game, which was a league best.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, it was a great night last night with the fans and everything. They came in and, you know, got free hot dogs and free chips and free drinks. They had a chance to meet the players, and they got to play on the turf a little bit, and they went through the locker room and locker, you know, and they saw the players' lockers, where the jerseys are and the helmets are and everything else. But, yeah, they had a great time, and we appreciate them so much. We did average like 5,150 per game this year, which is number one in our league. And there's 30 teams in our league now from coast to coast, all the way from Fairbanks, Alaska, to Richmond, Virginia, and Phoenix, Arizona, and et cetera, et cetera. But we are the smallest city in our league, and we had the most fans. Very pumped about that, and I think it's just a tribute to Nebraska and to football in itself.
Mike, let me just get your overall, because we can break it down, but your overall thoughts now that year one is in the books.
Well, I tell you, you know, as any expansion team goes through, which you know, we went through, we had our highs and lows. You know, we had a lot of great things happen, and we had some things happen that weren't quite so great, so. But bottom line, it was not our first rodeo. You know, we'd been through this before, and you know, you learn how to take the highs and you learn how to take the lows, and you learn how to make them all better. And we learned from those situations, you know, completely. And I tell you what, it was a rewarding experience. You know, we got started late last year. Charlie Bosselman called me in September and asked me to come up and run this his football team here. So we really had a late start, and from that point on, it was just, you know, going as fast as possible and trying to get as many sponsors in and fans in the door, and then recruiting players on top of that, which was a incredible process because we started last year, you know, late, obviously. So a whole lot of players that we got initially were players that were from other teams that nobody really wanted. So we had to sort through those guys and get our own players in here. And so we had a lot of players coming and a whole lot of players going because we didn't have any core players from last year's team because we did not have a last year's team. So, but we really found some good players and we found some great players, as a matter of fact. And some are going to the CFL and some are going to a bunch of other places too now. But we will have a core group back next year, and coaches have already started recruiting right now, and they're on the phones constantly talking to agents and players across the country. So we are bound. I mean, we will definitely put a fantastic product on the field next year.
So we are already guaranteed at Nebraska Danger for 2012?
Oh, absolutely. I tell you what, we had such a good, strong base this year with sponsorships and fans and season tickets. And, you know, and we have a great owner here, and we have a great building to play in and a brand-new turf and brand-new equipment. And so we are ready to rock and roll for everybody.
Mike McCoy, well, that's great to hear. I know the fans are going to love that. We love the indoor game. And Mike McCoy, the general manager of the Nebraska Danger, joining us. Mike, I don't remember if it was you or Pat Pimmel when we had him on towards the beginning of the year. When I asked what the expectations on the field were like, and they had said that, you know, the last two or three expansion teams that had come into the league either went winless or only won one game. This team comes out, gets a win, they're 3-3, and all of a sudden maybe people or fans or media start thinking, well, what's the deal here? This could be a great thing. And the wins didn't come the last 2 months. I understand that, but you can see the competitiveness in the last game against a playoff team in Wyoming. I sit here going, you know what? I'm okay with 3-11 in the first year because of the reasons you just talked about. Now, obviously, obviously, this team wants to go forward. What do you do now to make sure that it is a more competitive team in the next couple of years?
Well, we have to get players here who are bigger, stronger, and faster. We got to get players here that are quicker, and it's just, you know. And we got bit by the injury bug this year so bad. I mean, it was just incredible. I've been in this game now for 13 years, and have never ever seen it the way that it was here, you know. But we lost our top running back, our second running back, we lost our quarterback, we lost a bunch of defensive linemen, some secondary guys, and we brought some other guys in and tried to blend them and, you know, work it. But it was just one of those years too that we just got hurt a bunch, and so we just have to go back and, like I said, have a nice blend from the guys we had coming back from this last year's team. And, you know, when you think about how many close games too that we lost, we were in right till the very end. And you know, it's true. Everybody takes their lumps the first year in this league, and they either win one game or they go winless or maybe two. So when we did start out and we beat Wichita that first game in front of a sold-out crowd, which was the defending conference champions there, I mean, that was a huge win for us. And then I think after game six, we got kind of, you know, we got nicked up a lot, you know, and we couldn't play our starting running back. We couldn't play our starting defensive end, et cetera. So those things were all factors, and, you know, it's a violent game, man. So we just have to get bigger, stronger players in here and faster players.
Mike, I have to ask you because we touched on it before. There was a situation with the coaching staff where maybe you had to actually even be more involved during game day than you wanted to be. What do we know about the coaches that will or will not be coming back, or is it too early for that?
Well, we're in talks right now with our league office, and we've done everything that we were supposed to do, and we've got to be eyes and the whole bit. So we've jumped through the hoops for the league office, which was another reason why we had some struggles this year too, obviously. But we've been assured by them that we should be with full staff next season, so we're just kind of waiting for the final word there. But it should be a full staff next year.
And players, do you start over, or I mean, do some of these guys have interest in coming back? Tell the fans how that works.
Well, we talk to each player. We evaluate the players. We look at how they started, how they finished, you know, if they were coachable, if they were good in this city, in this town, in this area, as far as their appearances and stuff. You know, I mean, we took them. We had 9 appearances last week alone. You know, these guys are out constantly doing things. And so we're evaluating them on all fronts. And there's probably, I'd say, 8 to 10 players who we would want back. And we'll probably lose 2 or 3 of those to to other leagues. And then the other guys will get released, and then we'll have to recruit probably another 30 players in here, because we can start out next year with 45 players. But the players all would like to come back, and if we were 11-3, then I would sign them all back. We weren't 11-3. We were 3-11. So we have to go out and get, you know, some more receivers, some more offensive linemen, et cetera. But we have some great coaches who have really evaluated these players well, and we know what their strengths are, and it kind of depends upon the schemes, too, that we're going to run next year as far as offensively and defensively. So we're going to look at all that. But the players all loved it here. They all want to come back. They all know. I mean, we put them up in nice places. They ate well. They practiced hard in that brand-new facility as well, and new turf and the whole thing. So they want to come back. And the cool thing about it this year, too, was when other teams came in here and played, you know, those players saw how many fans we had in the stands and the enthusiasm that we had in that building, and, you know, the brand-new turf and the brand-new building and how loud it was and how fun it was. And so we have a lot of players from other teams now who are constantly calling us, too, you know, saying that they would like to be here next year. So that first year, you want to get the word out to everybody in this part of the state knows who you are, first of all, and then when those other players come in here, because these players all become free agents as soon as the year's over. So when they contact you and these are great football players who want to be here because it's such a great place to be, then that is absolutely huge, too.
Well, Mike, we appreciate your time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we look forward to continue to work with the Danger in the off season and when we get ready for 2012.
Well, now, I've heard that you're going to try out next year. Is that true?
I'll
Our first tryout is the end of September, so you get in shape, and we will get you out there, too.
I'll tell you what, I will work out at Kicker, because I assume that's the fairly safe spot.
Okay.
Ernesto may have something to say about that, but I'll do what I can. All right, buddy. Sounds good, Mike.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
That is the general manager of the Nebraska Danger, Mike McCoy, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, oh, a jam-packed show. We're over. That seems to happen when Tony's not here. The lack of discipline on this show when he's not here, Merritt, I don't know. Folks, don't forget to send us your emails. Party, Omaha, decision. Those are the three words of the week. We're on the road the next couple of days. Tomorrow we're live at Midway Chrysler in Kearney. We'll be there for 2 hours. We'll be talking with Mike Fox, baseball coach at North Carolina, athletic director John McBride at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, among our guests as we continue to locate and schedule coaches from across the College World Series. Augie Garrido on later this week. We'll be at the Sertoma 8-Man All-Star Football Camp on Thursday, but today we want to thank Mike McCoy of the Nebraska Danger, Sean Callahan of HuskersOnline.com, also the head coach of the California Golden Bears, Dave Esker, and from South Carolina, we want to thank Scott Hood from GamecockCentral.com. We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.